Christ takes care of us as a shepherd takes care of the sheep, offering love and redemption, mercy and grace. Would you stand as you are able for the call to worship? Our blessed God has gathered us here. May we dwell in the tender mercy of God. And would you join me in the opening prayer? Tender Shepherd, you gather us here to dwell in your love and grace. You comfort and guide us. You heal and redeem us. As we sing your songs of praise, send your light into our lives. As we commit ourselves to the ways of Christ, our guide, ruler, and Savior, bless us with your presence. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is "To God Be the Glory" in our hymnal, number 98, verses 1 through 3, also likely on the screen.
Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks, knowing that you provide for us, that you walk with us, that even in times of hardship or trial, that you are there and that we are not alone. God, continue to bless us. Continue to bless us with faithful people in our community. Continue to bless us with anniversaries and birthdays and new birth. Lord, continue to bless us with people who share your light and your love and your grace. And Almighty God, we ask that you're with those of us who need healing, those of us who are continuing to recover from injury or ailment or illness. God, we ask that you're with us and that we know it, so that we might not despair, that we might have hope, and we might believe in your promises and your life abundant, both in the hereafter and in the here and now. God, we give you thanks for every good thing. And all the people said, Amen. And so, friends, with the confidence of the children of God, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If we have some kids in the house, why don't you come on up and let's have our kids' moment.
Play a game. I know. All right, so I'm going to have you guys stand up and face me. Actually, here, I'll go this way. There we go. All right, so I'm going to give you the book. Your job is to, all right, it has to stay amongst you all. You cannot go and give it to Pastor Luke or to anybody else, all right? Your job is to hide this book from me and to not let me know who has it, okay? All right, so I'm going to close my eyes. I'll just start with it, and then you guys give it to whomstever, and you let me know when I look. Are you good? You good? All right. All right. I'll close my eyes again. Just keep it on you guys. It has to stay on you guys. All right, I'll close my eyes. You guys let me know when you're ready. Ready? All right. Do you have it, Kylie? Oh, you were laughing, so I thought you had it. Jolie, do you have it? Yeah. All right. All right, let's play one more time. It's all right. It's all right. All right. I'll close my eyes again. You guys let me know when to open them. Ready? All righty. I just saw you put your hands back, so I don't think you have it, David. Taylor, do you have it? You have it? Oh, I'm too good at this. All right, we'll play one more time. I'm going to start us off. All right, remember, the goal is to not let me know who has it. Okay? At all costs, do not let me know who has it. All right, go ahead. Ready? All right. I know it's not you. I just watched your hands go back, so that eliminated one. Nikias, do you have it? You don't have it? Who has it? I actually didn't see. He pointed behind. Kylie, do you have it? No? Garrett? All right. Good job, guys. All right, we can sit back down. All right, so when we were playing, do you guys notice how all of your hands went behind your back even if you didn't have the book? You guys were trying to deceive me, right? You were trying to trick me? So there's this story in the Bible. It's like right at the beginning. It's after the creation story. And we have Adam and Eve. You guys know what happened with Adam and Eve? They ate a fruit that they weren't supposed to, right? Yeah, they went against the rules that God set. He said, hey, don't eat this one specific fruit, but you can have anything else you want. And they ate that very specific fruit, right? Because the snake told them to, right? So the snake told Eve to eat the fruit and tricked her into eating it, so she ate it. And then she went and told Adam, hey, I ate this fruit. You know, you should try it, right? And then do you guys remember what happened when God came and was like, yo, why are you guys hiding? Do you remember? They did end up getting sent out of the garden, right? But so at the before they got sent out, they were hiding, yep. But Adam came out and he was like, it was the woman, you know, Eve told me to eat the fruit and, you know, like, she tricked me. And then Eve was like, well, you know what? Well, the snake told me to eat the fruit. They were all blaming each other, right? And that's another form of deception, right? Where you don't own up for your own actions and you blame it on the other person. Because you guys were all fine with me thinking that the other people had the book, right? Well, I knew it wasn't David because his hands always went back super slow. But when I thought it was Taylor, I thought Taylor had and she didn't have the book, and then it ended up being Kylie all the way at the other end. And you guys didn't stand up for the other person, right? Which that was the name of the game, so that's fine. But why do you think that they blamed each other instead of just apologizing right away? Do you think they were ashamed? They didn't want to get in trouble, right? They were ashamed of what they did. So they were ashamed because they probably thought that God wasn't going to love them anymore, right? I'm not sure. We can put that back. Do you guys think it's hard to come forward and say that you've done something wrong? I think so. Yeah. But guess what? God loves you even when you mess up, even when you eat the fruit that you're not supposed to. Isn't that pretty cool? Should we pray? All right. Hey, God. Thank you so much for loving me, even when I mess up. And thank you for not turning away and letting me come to you. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson would be from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. Here, the example of Barnabas is placed before us. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite from Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. At this time, we have a moment of gratitude where we get to respond to the providence and the abundance that God has blessed us with. Friends, our ushers will be passing the plates. If you'd like to partner with us in ministry, and you'd like to drop some money or a check into the offering plate, that would be very much appreciated. If you already tithe or electronically give or anything like that, let it be known that we are grateful for the ways that you support us so that we can support one another. So friends, at this time, I invite you to fill your hearts with gratitude for the things that the Lord has done. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, bless these gifts that we have received, both in terms of resources and in terms of commitment. God, bless them, that not only will we be blessed, but that we might be a blessing to others. Lord, help us to continue to support and care for not only our church, but our community. Help us to find ways where there is need that might be met. God, we give you thanks. We ask that you continue to walk with us and provide for each of us, our families, and our church. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, we invite you to stay standing as we sing our next hymn, Oh, How He Loves You and Me, on 2108 of the small black hymnal or up on the screens. Thank you. Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. This is the gospel, according to Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Fun passages today, right? So there's another story that gets told every so often, and I want to use it to kind of set up a discussion on what all of this tithing or sacrifice or any of it is in our tradition. So Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and some of the religious leaders come up and they say, "Jesus, you haven't paid the temple tax yet." Jesus looks up a little bit surprised and says, "Well, what do you mean? Do I have to pay the temple tax?" And the religious leaders say, "Yes, everyone has to pay the temple tax." And Jesus gives some long discussion about, well, you know, the son of the king doesn't get taxed for the taxes of the land, so do I need to pay the temple tax? But, before you protest, before you object, before you get me in hotter water than I already am, hey, Pete, and he turns to Peter. He says, "Pete, go down to the shore, cast out a net, bring back the fish that you catch, and then we'll talk about the temple tax there." So I can only imagine as Peter walks down to the shore, casts out his net, grabs the fish, brings the fish back, that Jesus is just there waiting in awkward silence with the religious folks. Peter brings the fish back. Jesus says, "All right, Pete, open its mouth." Peter opens its mouth. He says, "All right, Pete, reach in." Peter reaches in. And what does Peter pull out? Coin, worth exactly the amount of the temple tax. Jesus takes it, hands it to the religious leaders and say, "There you go." That's absurd, friends. That is a ridiculous story. That is one of those things where you go, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, I don't know what planet you live on. That's hilarious. But it sets up the discussion, doesn't it? What is this temple tax, and why is God asking for it? Why are the religious folks asking for it? Why is Jesus paying it, and what's it even for? You got to go back to one of my favorite books in Scripture. I know, it's Leviticus. Did you know that's a really fascinating book? It's one you could read if you wanted to go to sleep at night. There's a lot of rules. It kind of sets the stage for slumber. But when you start to pick it apart and really look at what it's trying to get at, it's absolutely fascinating. See, the first couple of chapters in Leviticus are all about these things called sacrifices. How many of you have sacrificed an animal lately on the altar of God? No one? That's pretty par for the course, right? We just don't do that anymore. And so when we read these old passages, we go, "Well, that seems backwards." And then we flip to the Gospels. Amen? But there's something about those passages. There's something about those words and those ideas, those practices that are old and have changed over time. See, there were a couple different reasons to sacrifice for. The first was the sin offering, the atonement. Has anyone here ever hid a book behind their back and not told who had it? And I'm talking metaphorically now, right?
Has anyone here ever been in trouble and not wanted to out the other person or out yourself? No one? I was about to say, you should come up here and preach. You know how to do this much better than I do. The atonement, the sin offering, right? This was in many ways to help gain forgiveness for things that we couldn't gain forgiveness for. Ways that we've hurt each other that we couldn't apologize for. Or things that maybe even after we've apologized, we're still just feeling kind of icky inside. But there were also things like the grain offerings, right? This is the first crops that come in. You gave about 10% and you brought it to the temple. And what was interesting about this is that offering oftentimes was used to feed the poor and those who didn't have much. You had the festival offerings. This is getting a little bit further into the book, where you brought these things in so that everyone could celebrate. It's kind of like a potluck, right? See, we in some ways we still keep these practices, and in other ways we don't. But what's fascinating to me is that even throughout the beginning of these books, God is saying, bring what you can so that the community might be blessed. You all remember the time when Jesus flipped tables, right? Man, he was upset. Boy, his blood was boiling. He walks into the temple. I'll tell the story again. He walks into the temple and he flips tables. And what's fascinating about that passage is that not only does he flip the tables of the money changers, but he singles out the dove sellers. Amen? The dove sellers. Why the dove sellers? See, because there were three different sacrifices you could give. You could give doves, you could give sheep or goat, or you could give ox, ram, cows, cattle. What's fascinating about that little exchange there that Jesus had and that holy anger, right, that injustice that was happening is, it's not that things were being sold in the temple. That was actually an important part of what their job was. If it was a lot of work to bring cattle from the far reaches of Judah or Israel to the temple. And so they figured, you know, the best thing to do, really, I'll sell my cattle in Fort Dodge. I'll get some money. I'll put that money in my pocket. And I'll walk down to, I don't know, Des Moines, Chicago, wherever, whatever the big city is, right? And then I'll take that money and I'll buy some cattle there. And it'll be good cattle, so I don't have to worry about it getting hurt or maimed or all of that stuff. And then I will offer the sacrifices that I need to. It was an important function, but what was happening is that, how many of you know about what happens to exchange rates over time? All of a sudden, things start to grow, and your money, you can only stretch your dollars so much, right? Inflation takes over, your money isn't quite worth as much as you would have hoped it would have been. See, this was happening in the temple at this time. This is why Jesus was so upset, is that they were taking and charging exorbitant prices for people to fulfill their religious obligations. And Jesus was upset with the dove sellers. Why? Who bought the doves? It was the poor who bought the doves. It was the widow with the two mites, the two copper coins. It was the people who didn't have much. So not only were they being, I don't know, greedy, sinful, they were oppressing other people. See, it's fascinating once you start to dive into these things. You realize that even back then, which is something that gives me hope, even back then, God was saying, it's okay. Bring what you can. We will take care of each other. We will make sure that no one goes hungry. Every year we talk stewardship. Every year we look at what we have and what we can give and what we can commit to. And sometimes in front of us swirls dollars and numbers in black and white and red. But we would be remiss if we failed to remember that it's not just about that. It's about this in here as much as anything else. Yes, we need to keep the lights on. Yes, we need to continue to have funds to bless people out in the community. Food costs money. That's how our economy works. But what's fascinating to me is that all of these practices that we engage in do something more than just blessing those in our neighborhoods. How old am I? 32? Is that the case? I'm real old, aren't I? It's a joke, friends. But it's been interesting for me, personally, the ways that I have, been pushed and pulled and stretched in this area. It's not all that long ago that I remember living on a tiny 600-square-foot house on Army Post Road going, well, we'll just put it on the card, we'll pay it off later. It's not all that long ago that I remember there were some nights eating buttered bread and water. And what's fascinating to me is that over time, I've watched my giving habits change as well. You don't have to raise your hands. That would be embarrassing. I don't want you to do that. Think, though, how many of you would like to be able to donate more money to people? How many of you would like to be able to provide for others? How many of you think you're doing well? How many of you have seen over your lifetime that amount has been able to grow? And how many of you remember those times when it's been difficult to give because the dollar's already stretched as far as it can be? Every one of us is on this journey, whether we realize it or not. Every single one of us has to negotiate with ourselves on what we can commit to. I know for me, it took me 32 years to finally pull the trigger and say, okay, enough is enough. I will commit to tithing. I will give what I can. And what's been fascinating to me is that over the years, how many of you ever just bought something that you said, that wasn't very smart. I shouldn't have bought that. That was an impulse buy. Has anyone been there? Walking through the aisle in the grocery store, you look over and you see the can of Coke or Pepsi or whatever, and you go, I don't know. It's 150 calories that I don't need, but boy, wouldn't it taste good. We've all been there, haven't we? How many of you regret those decisions later on? I'm raising my hand because I always do. But what I've noticed is that when I give to people who need it, when I give to organizations that do good in the world, even when the budget's tight, friends, I have never once regretted those decisions. Never. Once in my life. And that fascinates me. That's an interesting thing for me to reflect on internally. And I wonder why that is, but I think we know the answer, don't we? It's because those ways that we give changes our hearts. God blesses us in the midst of this. There's a passage in Scripture. It says God loves a what kind of giver? Cheerful, right? God loves a cheerful giver. When I was younger, though, why did I give? Why did you give when you were younger, when you were just trying to figure all of this stuff out? For me, it was this sense of obligation. You have to give because you have to give. And over time, what's happened? That obligation has turned maybe not into something that I'm forced to do, but man, it's my responsibility, isn't it? I'm going to be honest with you, friends. Sometimes giving hurts. Amen? But what happens is, over time, is money has a tight hold on us, whether we want to admit it or not. Money gets into our souls, and all of a sudden we say, you know what? Just a few extra bucks would help me make it. Just a few extra hundred, just a few extra thousands. We've seen it, haven't we? Whether it's been us or our friends, that never-ending chase, just another couple dollars. It never ends, does it? Because I think that's the unfortunate truth, is that will there ever be enough? Only if we trust God. Remember, this was last Sunday. This was the Israelites in the desert wandering around. What were they doing again? Say it with me. Complaining. Complaining, right? They said, Moses, have you led us into the desert just to die? It would have been better in Egypt. We were slaves, but at least our bellies were full. And Moses turns to God and says, God, help me out. And God says, Moses, take your staff and touch that rock in front of you. And what poured out of that rock? Water. Clean, pure, life-giving water. And not just a trickle, but a flow. See, this is the hard thing that we wrestle with in our lives. Money, the love of it, right? The love of it. It's a snare. It's a trap. That doesn't mean it's not useful. That doesn't mean it can't be used for good. Money is just a tool, after all. But it's when we turn it into an idol that things get a little bit sideways. This is what giving helps us correct. This is why we donate to different organizations, to the church, to people in need. Because we know that when we do that, when we willingly let go, our souls are healed a little bit. There's gratitude that grows. There's generosity that begins to blossom. And all of a sudden, we're not making those impulse buys quite as often and feeling guilty about it. It's a tough thing, friends. It's a really difficult thing, isn't it? A poor widow came and put in to the treasury 2 small copper coins. And Jesus said, "Blessed is she, because she gave what she had." Friends, I know it's been tough. Grocery bills are up. Gas is up. We'll see how cold the winter is. Amen? Amen. But I know this. If you are able to give what you can, if you are able to bless people with what excess you have, God will provide. I've seen that in my life every single time. And in fact, I'm kind of betting on this for the next year, that God will provide. I've put my money where my mouth is, friends. Remember, in Leviticus, there were 3 types of sacrifices. There were cattle, there were sheep, and there, what was the lowest one? Doves. Friends, don't put yourself in poverty. That's not what the church is asking. But I do encourage each and every single one of us to sit and reflect upon the ways that we have been blessed. The ways that we can be a blessing to others. With our time as well. With our prayers and our energy. with our expertise. Because here's the truth of it. God will provide. God has never not provided. And our hearts will be changed for the better when we do. Friends, thank you for your faithfulness already. Because of you, there is a food pantry just across the alley that is able to feed way more people than it could if we weren't helping and partnering with them. Because of you, there will be kids that get hats and mittens and things to keep warm when they come to see Santa Claus here. Because of you, there are people who know the love of God and find hope. Friends, this is why we give. So that the church can continue to bless our community and remind all of us, God is good. God will provide. All will be well. So friends, thank you for putting up with me preaching on money today. Amen? Amen. Thank you. And I encourage you to reflect and to pray and discern within your families how God has called you to bless people. Because we know that in many ways, that is what builds the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we know you have walked with us every day of our lives. We know you have gotten us through thick and thin, and now is no different. Lord, bless us. Continue to bless us. Lord, soften our hearts. Steel our resolves. Lord, speak to us wisdom so that we might know what we can give. And Lord, may there be no guilt, may there be no shame. May there only be gratitude and joy. Because we know in those ways that your kingdom is built, that your grace is known, that your love will be spread throughout all of the earth. So God, let us be a part of that. Help us partner with you so that we might share that same grace. And God, thank you that we have been blessed and that you continue to bless us. Lord, in your name we pray that we might be a blessing to others. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand as you are able and join us in our final hymn. Here I am, Lord, on 593 in your thick blue hymnals or up on the screens. Thank you.
Friends, enjoy your thanksgivings. Amen? Amen. And also, Advent is coming up, so keep your eyes open for the activities and the joy that we will be spreading this season. We invite you to be a part of all of those that you're able to. But now, would you receive the benediction? May God bless you and keep you. May God lift God's face upon you and give you peace. May your hearts not be troubled. May you know that God will provide. May you pray and may your hearts be clear. Friends, may we be a blessing to everyone as God has blessed us. Go with God and God will go with you now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath today. Our service is ended.